A trip out to meet with the crew of a cargo ship stuck in the Baltimore Harbor because of that wrecked bridge. I'm David Brancaccio. First, there's news. The government has funded what are called green banks to the tune of $20 billion. These are nonprofits that will lend money to the private sector for projects to support sustainability and address climate change. This from the Climate Law of 2022, officially called the Inflation Reduction Act. Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports.
At least 70% of this funding is going to clean energy projects in low-income and disadvantaged communities.
These are communities with underinvested in infrastructure that haven't had access to, you know, cheap solar, cheap wind, cheap storage.
Melissa Lott at Columbia University's Climate School says this money could go to individuals and to big projects intended to benefit whole towns.
These could be community solar local developments. It also could be heat pumps and other types of things that can make homes not just run on clean energy, but also have lower bills.
By investing $20 billion, David Victor at UC San Diego says the Biden administration is hoping to attract billions more in private investment.
You give a combination of grants and loans to local projects, and then because they have that funding via the federal government, they can then go raise additional private funds.
Which, he says, is going to be critical for the clean energy transition. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
At the site of last week's fatal collapse of Baltimore's Key Bridge after it was struck by a disabled cargo ship, there's word crews have opened a second temporary channel to move ships in and out of the harbor. A third deeper channel's in the works to allow larger vessels. They're shooting for late April for that and full ship traffic, perhaps by late May. President Biden visits the site today. Meanwhile, crews aboard eight large cargo ships, including the one that hit the bridge, are still stuck aboard waiting. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes went out to one of the stranded ships, along with the port's chaplain, to see how crews are getting by.
At the Baltimore International Seafarers Center, Port Chaplain Joshua Messick is gathering his supplies for the day. Coffee and chocolate.
It's nice to come bearing gifts.
Yeah. Messick is bringing the treats to the crew of the Fatra Nari. It's a Thai cargo ship that's docked just a short distance from the collapsed Key Bridge. Now it's stuck in Baltimore indefinitely. And it's part of Messick's job to take care of the crew members on the ships that are here.
They are the men and women that move the world. And they go unseen quite frequently, unnoticed, and honestly unappreciated.
Messick drives his 10-passenger van to the terminal, parks, and climbs up the metal gangway to the ship. It delivered aluminum here. And now, Captain Prastya Pringsiang says they're just sitting tight.
We have no choice. We just do whatever we can.
And what they can do is maintenance, like checking the engine and the power systems on the ship. Everyone on here is on a 6 or 9 month contract, and they're getting paid even if the ship's docked and there's less to do. Today, Messick is driving eight of the crew members to a shopping mall. The ship's chief engineer, Pisset Tamaka Tanakilai, says he needs snacks.
For buy some food, some drinks.
Am I taking you to the liquor store, too?
Yes.
It's Tamaka Tanakilai's 37th birthday on Monday, and they need to stock up. But only about half of all seafarers currently stuck here in Baltimore have visas to go ashore, by Messick's estimate. And he worries about them.
Their tasks are limited. There's only so much to be done. So my concern is a spiral into tedium that would affect them on an emotional, psychological level.
Messick says it's his job to try to break up the monotony, keep people from getting bored and depressed, and as an Episcopal priest, to provide spiritual guidance when it's wanted. He might also try to host a crab dinner on some of the ships.
I want to bring some of Baltimore to them. It would be the pity of the world if we couldn't show them what Charm City has to offer.
Messick wants to take the stranded crews on field trips, to Orioles games, to see historic ships, for cookouts, so they can interact with the community. And he says it's also a rare chance for the community to learn about the crucial role seafarers play in our economy. At the Port of Baltimore, I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
We'll get two readings on the job market in just a bit. The government has been counting up the number of people on payrolls in March. Plus, they've been calling households to ask who's working and who's looking to formulate the separate unemployment rate. These reports tell us a lot about hiring, raises, and the future of interest rates in America. Marketplace's Henry Epp has a preview.
Most analysts expect the number of new jobs in March fell from February, when the economy added 275,000 new positions. But monthly jobs numbers have frequently beat expectations over the last few years, surprising economists who predicted higher interest rates would slow down the labor market. A separate report this week already showed stronger than expected gains. The payroll firm ADP reported private sector employers added 184,000 jobs in March. Another strong showing in the labor market could complicate the Federal Reserve's interest rate strategy. Some board members gave mixed signals this week on when or if they might cut rates. One more measure to watch, revisions to past month's jobs gains. The Department of Labor has often lowered monthly numbers after initial readings, making the overall labor picture look a bit less rosy in hindsight. I'm Henry Epp for Marketplace.
Checking markets, ahead of that jobs report, S&P and NASDAQ futures are both up 0.3%, plus 0.2% for Dow futures. Interest rates pretty steady. The 10-year rate is at 4.34% now. Crude oil traded in New York is up 0.25% at $86.79 a barrel, although the European price did top $90 a barrel today. Our executive producer is Kelly Silvera. Our digital producer is Dylan Mietinen. Our engineers are Brian Allison and John Brewington. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.